With me, if you would, at this time. I have a thought, a very simple thought, but why is it that the simplest thoughts sometimes are the hardest ones to nail down? It seems like it's so simple, but yet so super complicated, and I want to try to distill it down simply. I'm going to read some scriptures today. Is that all right?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. In the King James, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, or the good news which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." This is the good news that Paul has been preaching and that this church preaches here today. It saved you when you received it. You stand in it now. And also, it will save you in eternity if you keep it in your memory. For I delivered, verse 3, unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Aren't you thankful that Jesus died for your sins? Jesus died for our sins. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now there, I feel in the Holy Spirit, and it's just beyond my reach, but I feel in the Holy Spirit there is much more hidden in the good news about Jesus than what we have truly tapped into. I believe that there is a depth that we can go to in the gospel of God, that there are treasures that are buried, there are resources that are not just hovering on the surface, but it will go deeper and dive deeper into the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, that there are truths and that there is a power to be released. The Bible said, Paul teaching, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. There is a power, a saving power in the good news about Jesus. No matter how complex our theology may grow to be, no matter how much we come to understand the old ways and paths that were given to Moses on Mount Sinai, or how that we might delve into the classical Greek languages and cultures, no matter how we might do, the Bible says God chose the foolishness of the preaching of the good news about Jesus to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And there is power in the good news simply because Jesus and God Almighty willed it to be so. And so as saints of God, and the onus is on us to dig deeper and to go beyond the surface issues and to find the power that is in the good news about Jesus. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, that celebration, that feast of the Jews, celebration of the harvest time, the blessings of God and the crops. It's funny how God chooses the times and places, particularly for the representation of what they stand for. The church was born on the feast day of Pentecost. It was when the Jews, it was 50 days after the Passover, when they sacrificed the lamb for the sins of the nation, and they were rolled ahead for another year. 50 days later, the church was born. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, was poured out on the 120 believers, and then on thousands of believers in that one day. And it was on this feast day, this celebration, this Jewish holiday of Pentecost. And there, the Bible says that when all of the Spirit had been poured out on the 120, and God had moved mightily, then the people, Peter preached to the people about Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then they said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, everybody, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God is still calling people today to receive the promise of the Father. And then one last passage to round out my very fragmented mind here today on what I want to say. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Excuse me, book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then down to verse 8. But by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out. Everybody say go out. He was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Obey. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly they had been mindful of that country from which they had came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and whence also he received him in a figure. And I want to preach from this question. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Now, I could have made this easy and flipped over to Proverbs somewhere and read that scripture to you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If your pathway is obscure, trust in the Lord, and He will make the way plain before us. When we are unable to, it seems, grapple or come to an understanding of what is going on, or where what we need to do, or where we need to go next, I'll tell you the next step today and make it simple for you. When you reach that place of frustration, it's time for you to trust Jesus more than you have ever trusted Him before. Do you trust Jesus? Peter said, repent. Paul said, I gave to you what I received, that Jesus died. There are things, and what does it say? He died for our sins. We have got to trust Jesus with our past. So Some of you are stuck in the past. But Jesus died to save you from your past. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, you must be born again. I will change everything about your life. He called Abram, started out with one name, and he wound up with another name. Jacob started out with one name, and he got his name changed. Because when you have a relationship with the Almighty God, when you come to an understanding of who He is, when you begin to trust Him, He changes the things that have been in your life all the days up until that moment. And everything that has ever happened to you is changed. The Bible said, Paul said, all things that are behind us pass away, and all things become new. And we begin to trust Jesus. When we trust Him to forgive our sins, we trust Him with our past. Repent. Trusting Jesus with our past. Dying out to the old ways and being born again into the new life. It is leaving the past behind us. Do you trust Jesus with your past? If you do, then you need to bring it in prayer at an altar or in a prayer closet somewhere. If you've got some things from your past, from your childhood, you've got things that people have said, things that have been done, and sometimes we hang on to the past. Sometimes we build memorials to the sufferings and the trials that have happened to us over the years. I want to know something today, and the Almighty God wants to know something today. Do you trust Him with your past? He said, I will take your sins, and I will cast them away from you, and I will cast them away from me. As far as the east is from the west, will I cast your sins away from you. When you are born again in Jesus, when you die in repentance at an altar, and you give your life and trust to Him, everything that had power and control over you to that moment is broken off of you. And you, when you begin to trust Jesus, He removes the power of sin in your past over your life. He told Abraham, he said, go out from your land, go out from your kindred, and leave this place to a place that I will show you of. Do you trust Jesus today? Our very first steps as a spiritual infant when we're born again is trusting Jesus with the past. Time to come out of the old lifestyle. Time to come out of the old way of doing things. Why am I wasting time preaching this to Christians who have already supposedly trusted in Him? I'll tell you why. Because some of you have carried some things with you from your past that you need to let go of. The Bible says that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis, and He said, leave your land, leave your father's house, leave your family and your kindred. And the Bible says Abraham disobeyed God, and he took his nephew Lot with him because he felt sorry for him, and he loved him deeply because his brother had died, and this young man did not have a father. But God said, leave him behind. Sometimes we don't obey God exactly perfectly. Sometimes we don't obey God implicitly and just do exactly what He said to do. And we carry things with us that Jesus' blood delivered us from, that Jesus' blood saved us from. And we carry those things with us on the journey, and they do nothing but cause us trouble and problems.
That's right. That's right.
And the blessings of God cannot grow with your past. So big and so great. And the Bible says that their herdsmen begin to argue about who is going to get the grass in the pasture field. And so Abraham said to Lot, here is the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and here are the mountainsides, and you can pick whichever one you want. And if you go to the mountains, I'll go to the plains. If you go to the plains, I'll go to the mountains. And the Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plains of Sodom, that they were well watered. And he chose that path. But when Abraham separated himself completely from his past, then God's blessings came afresh and anew to him. And God's promises expanded and increased in his life to even greater levels than originally intended by God. Because there's not room in the life of a Christian for your past and the blessings of God that he is pouring in your life today. Trust Jesus with your past. And Abraham trusted God with his future. He said, go to the place that I will tell you of. Oh, sometimes it's not that hard. Oh, thank God. I remember when I went into an altar the first time to repent of my sins. I remember the weight of sin and the condemnation of the devil that was upon me. I remember the spiritual blindness and the darkness, the fear and the worry that I had. Where will I go if I die today? Will I go to hell or will I go to heaven? I did not want to go to hell and the condemnation and judgments and the divorce, spiritual divorce that I had from the Almighty Creator was heavy upon my soul. But I can tell you that after I prayed and after I asked God to forgive me, after I cried, after I told Him that I loved Him, after I put my trust in Him, that God severed the power of my past over my life. And when I came up from that moment of repentance and trusting in God, I don't know if I had ever felt so light, if I had ever felt so free, if I had ever felt so delivered. Something had changed inside of me. Leave your past. And then God said to Abraham, go, son, I'm going to show you where it is. And it's wonderful. Sometimes some of us are glad to leave our past behind. We love to talk about heaven. I think we don't talk about heaven enough. Because if we talked about it, we need to get more and more excited about what heaven is. I believe if we truly had a deeper understanding of what heaven was, that we would come to a knowledge. It would change the way that we treat our husbands and our wives. It would change the way that we raise our children. If we had a true understanding of what heaven really was, it's not an escapist idea. It's not a place where we're going to get away from all of this. The Bible says that God is going to return to the earth the second time. The Son of Man in the glory of the angels of heaven will come with his armies to the earth and the hosts of heaven, and he is going to establish his kingdom upon the earth. Read it in the Bible for yourself. John said in his last few letters, I saw a city come down from God out of heaven, a new Jerusalem, and it settled on the earth. And I saw a new heavens and a new earth. God is going to establish his kingdom among humanity. And I'm telling you, if we really understood what it was really all about, that things would change in the way that we treat one another, in the way that we carry on our business dealings, in the way that we treat our neighbors, and even to the littlest things, because everything is going to have an impact and matter in that day. Going to a place that I will tell you of. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He died and he was buried. But what did Jesus say? I will tear this temple down in 3 days and I will raise it back up. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the belly of the earth. Do you trust God with your future? Do you trust God with your future? Do you believe that God knows what He's doing and that He knows where He's taking you to? Do you trust Him enough to launch out into this life and say, God, wherever you lead me, God, whatever you show me, that is what I will do until I realize and wake up one day that I'm right where God had designed for me to be. We have to trust Him with our future. Heaven is a big idea. It's a big concept. And that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's defending the resurrection from the dead. There has to be a trust inside of us that when this life is over and when our journey here is done, that there are going to be rewards, that there are going to be paychecks, that there is going to be a payday, that there is going to be a day of reckoning. The way I think that some of us live and act from day to day, and I see things and hear things as a pastor, makes me wonder that we don't really trust that God has control over the future, that we don't really believe that one day we're going to stand before God and He's going to say, now let's get the books opened up here and let's see, Sister Tyree, where you were and what have you done with your life and the resources and the time that I gave you on the earth and the spiritual gifts that I put inside of you. If we truly trusted in God with our future and we truly believe that there was a future, we would labor with more fervor. We would labor with more perspiration. We would labor with more determination and focus. If we truly believe that God was the one that created everything when He spoke the worlds into existence in the past, and that same God is going to call an end to time in the future, that we really trust Jesus with the future, that it will change the way we live our lives here and now. Hallelujah. So Abraham grew in his relationship with God. We grow in our relationship with God. We trust Him with the past. We trust Him with the future. And we grapple with the concept of eternal life. And then we come to another sphere of trust. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That He died, that He was buried, and that He resurrected on the third day. And He was seen alive. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 13, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you trust Jesus with your past? Do you trust Jesus with your future? Do you trust Jesus with your present? With today? Do you trust Him right now? Hallelujah. Sometimes the hardest time to trust God is to trust Him now, in the present moment. Trust Him right now. Can I trust God to get me through this trial? Can I trust God to show me the way forward now? Can I trust God in this situation? And it seems like the past has taken care of itself and the future is beyond our comprehension. But sometimes we struggle with trusting Jesus today. Amen. Abraham left the past behind. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. But as he grew in his relationship and as he aged, then God said to him, I want to know if you trust me now. And I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him up in a place that I will show you. Because trust has got to fill every sphere of our lives. We've got to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. It is of the utmost and the number one commandment, the top requirement in the kingdom of God. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. Do we trust Him in every sphere of time, past, present, and future? Do you trust Jesus today, right now? I'm glad that He healed you in the past. I'm glad that He delivered you in the past. I'm glad that He's going to bring you revival. I'm glad that you're going to have a breakthrough. But what I want to know today is, do you trust Jesus right now to receive right now what He has promised to give to you? It's time to stop looking back at the past. Stop worrying over the future, and it's time to start trusting Jesus now with what is going on today, with the trials and the tribulations and the obstacles that stand before us, and take trust and put it into action and begin to let it work in our lives right now. God hasn't answered my prayer yet. It's time to trust God today. Because when we don't trust God in the present, it can break the link between the past and the future. We have to trust God every single moment and juncture in our lives. We have to trust Him with our jobs and our careers. God knows what He's doing. If He puts a delay in your life, you need to trust Him. If He gives you a promotion on the job, you need to trust Him. If He leaves you languishing in a job that seems like it's going to be a dead end, you need to trust Him. If He puts you in a place, wherever you find yourself, Paul said, I have found the secret to contentment in my relationship with the Lord. He said, but I've learned to be exalted and I've learned to be abased. I've learned to have plenty and I've learned to have nothing. I've learned to have a full belly and I've learned to go hungry out of necessity. But all those things come into play because I have learned to put my trust in God, that no matter what condition or what state I find myself in, He's just as trustworthy right now, today, in this situation, in this second, as He was when He washed away my sins in His blood, and as He will be when I rule and reign with Him in glory upon the new earth and the new heavens and all of that. God is just as trustworthy right now. That's what God wanted to see with Abraham. That's what God wanted to see with the Jews in the Old Testament. God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. But you know what God did? He led them to a sea, and He hedged them in about with mountains, and He brought their adversaries in behind them. They could trust God for the past and look to the future, but they could not trust God for today. And when they stood at the Red Sea, they began to cry and moan, and they were in a tragic situation, no doubt about it. But God had already proven His power and His ability and His authority multiple times, 10 times, in other ways. God had established supernatural, phenomenal, natural occurrences in the world, controlling the elements, controlling light, controlling the animals, and controlling the storms. And He had shown them that He could be a God that could be trusted, that He showed them that He was a God that would fulfill His promises that He gave to Jacob, that in 400 years, your God will visit you and your God will bring you out. Amen. But when they got into the day-to-day situations, they lost their ability to trust. I want to know, do you trust God today? Let's stand together. Do you trust God now, right now? Regardless of the path that God sets you on, do you trust Him? Do you trust that Jesus knows what He's doing? Wherever that God leads you to, whatever He brings you through, whatever situations you find yourself, do you trust God right now? To go and do what God tells you to do right now. Not later. Not tomorrow. Not the next day. Not at the next revival. Not at the next prayer meeting. But right now. I don't know about you. Maybe this message is just for me today. It seems like of all the places where I'm not, I'm never right where I am. But God put me here today. I'm here right now. And I need to trust God to let Him do what He wants to do through me and in me right now. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today? Not do you trust the pastor. Do you trust Jesus? Not do you trust a brother or sister or this one or that. Do you trust Jesus? Who do you think tells the pastor what to say and preach? Who do you think shows this one and that one to do this or that or the other? Who do you think hands out the gifts and the administrations? Who do you think is in control of everything? We need to trust Him like we have never trusted Him before. Abraham trusted God. The power of God unto salvation. He was seen alive after his passion. There needs to be a life that is seen inside of you. There needs to be a visual that the world can see. There needs to be a tangible brightness about your life, a living witness and testimony, not about what Jesus did, and I think we ought to testify about what He did all the time, not about what He's going to do, and I believe we need to talk about what is going to come and His promises all the time. But people need to know what God is doing for you today. They need to see that He's alive and well in your soul now. To church on Sunday, not when I can get you in a Bible study, but right now God is on the throne. Right now I trust Him that He has put us together in this moment in time, and He's brought us together in this path, and just acknowledge that and say, I don't understand. I am just a worker in the field, like we talked about in our Bible class, but I would like to tell you about Jesus. I tell you what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and how He wants to change your life. I would like to ask you a question. Would you like to be saved right now? Let's all bow our heads. Let's close our eyes here. If you know this message is for you and you know you need to trust, St. Augustine of Hippo said, trust the past to God's mercy, the present to God's love, and the future to God's providence. If you're struggling in one or more of these spheres of trust, I want you to come right now to the front and kneel at the altar and begin to ask God to let your faith in Him grow. I want to receive.